Thank you very much for having us, and Hatice for this conference. Thanks, Anya. I'd like to come back on the end of the presentation of Henning, because I think what we see now with the right-wing government in Denmark is symbolic of what is the tiny line between what should be flexicurity in a social democratic point of view and what is flexicurity in a neoclassical mainstream point of view. If you explain unemployment by friction, yeah, it can be part of an employment which is frictional unemployment. In that case, you implement flexicurity, but it doesn't, the lack of flexicurity doesn't explain in itself the source of unemployment. That's where Henning was speaking about. You need some tools on effective demand to make decrease unemployment, the deep cause of unemployment, and you need to facilitate the moving of worker, the retraining of worker, to reach the full employment. That is the social democratic point of view. If you understand that those frictions, in fact, are a bit more than frictions, are unduly high costs, undue high labor costs, then it means the deep cause of unemployment is too high costs. Yeah? Then you have the liberals coming. You have the mainstream economists coming, explaining to you that the deep cause of unemployment is the lack of flexibility. In that case, they will ask for decrease of wages. They will ask for forcing people to get jobs when they are unemployed. They will ask for longer working time before pension. They will ask for less education system during unemployment period. And they will ask for less benefits during unemployment. So that's the tricky stuff. If you take those friction as the main explanation of unemployment, then you arrive to the liberal solution. If you take friction as part of a global unemployment, then you have it has to be implemented within, as Henning said, a macroeconomic framework. Then you have to stimulate demand, global demand, and you have to make active labor policy for retraining workers, etc., etc. And this fits in a social democratic point of view, if I could say. In fact, it's also linked to two basic economic theories we have for explaining unemployment: the Keynesian one and the neoclassical one. Neoclassical one, it's easily done, easily said. Yeah, you have unemployment, involuntary unemployment, if labor costs are too high. Final point: what do we have to do? Cancel minimum wages, cancel job protection, cancel everything. Like that, you'll have less cost on wages and you'll be able to hire more. That's a neoclassical interpretation. If, I'm come back to my first point, if the deep cause of unemployment are friction, then you are in this place. You have too high cost, it's too difficult to sack people, etc., etc. Make more flexible your labor market. That's labor market policies with one objective: to make wages decrease, labor cost decrease. You have the other one. The main explanation of unemployment is a lack of effective demand and too high savings. With this unemployment coming from this lack of effective demand, you can have trouble on the labor market with friction, with difficulty to change job, with badly trained people, etc., etc. Here we speak about true flexicurity. Yeah? But now we come back to the crisis, the deep crisis that we have witnessed in the last three or four years. Yeah? What can we see for this life crisis? It is said to be characterized by at least four big imbalances. I'm going to speak only about one, mentioning only the other one. In 24 out of 27 member states of European Union, you have wage share in GDP which decreased. What does it mean? It means people have been paid less, profit rate increased. So it means already since the 80s, we have the volunteer in our political leaders that decreasing wages will make increased profits, will make increased employment. In fact, when you're seeing what do they do with these profits, with this increased profit, they didn't invest it on the real economy for employing people. Why? Because at the same time, you had the complete deregulation of financial market. So when I have $10, I have the choice. Either I invest it in the real economy and I have 3% return, or 5% if I'm good. Yeah? Or I'm investing it on financial market. Just for you to know, Société Générale in 2007 the investment banking department, the rate of return on equity was 51%. If I am an entrepreneur, I'm not even wondering where I'm putting my money. I'm putting there to the financial market. And you can see that the share of profits going to financial market and the share of profit going to investment in the real economy, in fact, this ratio increased a lot. If you are going with the rate of unemployment in European Union, you can see that there is at least a correlation. I'm not saying there is a cause and an effect. You can see a strong correlation between the rate of profit reinvested in the financial market and the rate of unemployment. Yeah? So the deep cause of unemployment, and I come to Henning, what Henning said, is the lack of effective demand and too high savings. In America, it was not too high saving because they didn't have savings at all. So we lend them our savings, but at least here. And that's Keynesian principle, basic Keynesian principle. He said, kill the rentier, Athanasian the rentier. I don't know how you call them. Yeah, and he said, if you want to make increased employment, you need to increase effective demand. Effective demand is the demand expected to come to entrepreneurs. So if you make wages decrease, if you don't invest, if you invest everything in the financial market, there is even less reason to invest more in your real economy if you are an entrepreneur, because it's a vicious circle. You employ less people, more on the financial market. More on the financial market, less in the real economy. And here you create unemployment. You have here your two big imbalances. You have inequalities rising, and it is the case in Latvia. When I came 1 year ago, I tried to show this. And you have another one. It is there's a big divide between financial market activities and the real economic activity. Financial market were not financing the real economy anymore. They were working on their own, insuring the financial product which were insured. They were making financial wealth out of financial wealth. Yeah. So if we're taking seriously this explanation of the crisis, unemployment cannot come from too high wages. Unemployment is coming from too low wages, from insufficient demand. Then, if we are speaking about flex security, it is not the one of the right wing, which we should defend now. It is the one presented by Henning. It means we have a deep problem, a deep macroeconomic problem, which is called aggregate demand. We lack aggregate demand. That is the deep cause of unemployment. We need to increase aggregate demand, and we need also to help workers to find a job, to change the job, to train workers, etc. In this aspect, in this framework, flex security makes sense. And the other one that it will say, make people poorer to make more profit to employ them tomorrow. It does not work. On the contrary, it went to financial market and people get even more poor. Now I'm coming to another point. So what should we do? It's quite simple. More social justice, more financial regulation. It's not so more on labor market. Labor market, as Henning said, is another pillar. But the main cause is a lack of aggregate demand. When we are saying Denmark had a good experience and unemployment decreased a lot, what we can say also, I think Henning mentioned it, the Scandinavian country pay much more taxes. You have a much, much more equal distribution of income. In that case, it was normal, that Denmark used to experience lower rate of unemployment. We had too much inequal distribution of income in the rest of the European Union. That is one of the main reasons. So we are fairly here on the left social democratic view of society. We are not doing revolution or something like that. It's to explain how the system can work better. Yeah? So what can we do? Increase taxes for the richest. I came to Latvia. 1 year ago, somebody told me that there is no taxes on dividend at the end of the year on capital. That is absolutely...
There is now.
Now there is? Yeah, for a year, 2 years. When I came also, there was a flat tax rate for enterprises, which is the case in most of the European countries. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. And for income taxes, I think we should go much more higher. I think for some people, they should be taxed to 80% of the incomes. When you're billionaires, even more. When we are billionaires, I can tax billion, you still have billions. Yeah, so I can tax them. So in Denmark, etc., and in Nordic countries, much more equal distribution of income, which could explain low level of unemployment, and also much, much, much more investment in research and development. Then they have less low-skilled workers. They have a lot of very highly skilled workers. We can be hired in highly innovative businesses. That's one of the reasons. Also, to explain the decrease of unemployment. So I'm again coming, but we have to be very careful. Flexicurity, sorry for this, but I would put it as a second aspect of unemployment. Yeah, it's not the real explanation. As Henning said, we have different strategies of flexicurity. We cannot say that the decrease of unemployment in Denmark during the 90s from something like 10, 12, or 13%, 12%, to 2%, 2.5% in the middle of the 90s as all coming from flexicurity. That is not true. That's not what Henning wanted to say. He wanted to say you have a big stimulus on demand and you have flexicurity policies. Yeah? So it's not all explained. It's not like God coming. You don't need to have faith on it. Please don't have faith on anything. Be critical. So a classification can show that you have different results with different flex security system, which can be called social democrat, which can be called very liberal. So to say that all the decrease in unemployment came from these policies is a bit a bit too much. Yeah. We have also to be careful. It has been mentioned by Henning. You still have 12% youth unemployment in Denmark. You have 22% in Finland. You have 25% in Sweden. Yeah. However, Henning was really right. It's a counter-cyclical tool. However, if it were used only by social democratic people, I would trust saying, yes, please make flex security, and it's going to be a counter-cyclical tool. If we don't implement flex security, Germany did, I'm not defending Angela Merkel, but at least Germany did quite a good stuff during the crisis. The state subsidized worker. They had to work 1 week out of 2 weeks, yeah, and they were paid. It's a way also to implement counter-cyclicality in demand management. And in that case, if I could say, I like the idea of flexicurity, but we have still to take into account that people are sacked. And sometimes it's not funny to be sacked, even if you are well insured. Money is good, but life, it's a different stuff. Your family, etc., etc. So in addition, as it has been mentioned, it's not really sure that really, and I'm again on the same point, that the cause of unemployment is a lack of mobility. So I tried to show that it was a lack of demand. And also, if you see the change of the time of job occupation, as you show it in 2006, but in fact, if you look in a bit longer term, it has a tendency to increase and not to decrease, except in Denmark, but globally in the European Union. So, first of all, cause of unemployment is demand. It's not rigidity on financial market. Second, in fact, we can see that people are keeping their job quite a long time, in fact. And it's not really the question of moving the job, which is a deep cause of unemployment, without saying that it is always easy to move your job. Yeah, we have to recognize flex security has worked a lot on how to move jobs, how to train people, how to make job training, etc., etc., which is very interesting, but not to be considered as a deep, deep cause of involuntary unemployment. Also, something else, part-time job in Netherlands, it's 50% of the workforce. It's a lot. Yeah, it's 24% in Denmark, so it's half, but it's still a lot. Yeah. In fact, the rate of employment full time is even smaller in Denmark than it is in Spain, in France, in Greece, but it is the same as in Germany. Again, be careful about Germany. Germany is not so innovative. Germany, etc., etc. Germany made a lot of improvement of growing out of cost reduction. Germany is much more on the flex aspect than the security aspect, definitely. They killed minimum wage, thanks to social democrats, and they killed social security also. So, and a part-time job on average is 17% in European Union, so it's 50 in Netherlands, which is said to be implementing flex security, and it's 24% in Denmark. Also, something else, we said employment rates are increasing. We have to be careful also on the definition, both employment rate and unemployment rate. I'm now coming just on unemployment rate because it's quite, how could I say, it's striking, it's very striking. To be called employed in Eurostat database, the definition is during the week of reference, you have to work 1 hour. Okay? So if you work 1 hour, you're not unemployed, huh? You're employed. So that's perhaps why now EU 2020 strategy is speaking about employment rates, more than unemployment rates. But it's going to come the same because unemployment rate definition is also becoming more and more conservative. So there another, we'll have the complement. So that's what I wanted to say. Poverty rate also is 12% in France, Netherlands, and Denmark. So we have still a lot of poor. All this to say that unemployment and poverty is mainly caused by the lack of effective demand and the bad distribution of income. Yeah, if you implement only flexicurity without implementing demand stimulation, first of all, it's not for sure that you will create job. Second, it's not for sure that you will create that the job, the employment which is going to be created is going to be good quality employment. Yeah, so we definitely need an impulse on demand, a much stronger aggregate demand, without saying that we won't take into account the social dilemma which can appear on the labor market. All this to say that the level of employment, this is a very strong Keynesian argument, is not determined on the labor market. It's determined on the good and the financial market. Thanks very much.